wonderful thing to get to know so many. And one of our favorite teachers, Corey Mann, and her, this is her pastor, who just passed away from COVID-19. 54 years old, very athletic family, and son plays lacrosse for U of L. The other son's a baseball player, and is a great man of God. I want to read you just a post from his family. To all our family and so many friends who've been praying with and for us, we are grateful. Today at 5:46 a.m., my dad, this is written by his daughter, my dad, Jeff Fuson, left us this earthly plane. We don't understand or know why, but we are trusting God to lead us through this time. Dad was always the first one to look for the message in the mess. I expect that many of you, like us, will be hurting with and for us. As with anything in life, we have a choice to cultivate gratitude or bitterness. I hope you'll choose gratitude. Listen to these words of a daughter. I don't know how we got so lucky to be loved and led by such an amazing man, but I'm so grateful. He's meant so much to so many. Someone told me yesterday that the closest thing they could imagine to Jesus on this earth was my dad. He would have been honored and humbled to hear that. We have quite a road in front of us, but we know who has gone before us and who will come behind us. Thank you for your prayers and your outpouring of love. So would you just join me in a word of prayer for the Fuson family, for our Tracy and I's good friends, Corey and Jeff Monin, who are some of their best friends and a part of that church. And just for their church is called Phos Church, P-H-O-S, Phos. It's a Greek word for light. And it's taken from what some consider to be the very first hymn ever sung in the early church, the Phos Hilaron, or the hilarious light is essentially the translation of that. So let's pray. Father, we just cry out right now. Lord, our hearts are touched because we've lost a fellow warrior in this city, a true man of God who was leading a flock and pouring his heart and his life into the sheep you've entrusted him with, and now he's gone. And Lord, we know we don't grieve as those who don't have hope. We grieve as those who do have hope. Lord, we know he right now is in your presence, but Lord, as people I'm sure are suffering today, and I pray for your comforting presence, your powerful, peaceful presence, just to wrap your arms around every person there at Phos Church. I pray, Lord, for the Monin family, God, our friends. I pray you'd comfort them. I pray for Jeff Fuson's family, Lord, his kids, his wife, his sons and daughters, Lord, that you'd comfort them the way only you can, precious Holy Spirit. And Lord, even in the midst of this loss, we continue to trust you. And Lord, we pray for all those in this city and in the state and around the United States and around the world who've been affected by COVID-19. God, we ask you to do the miraculous and to eradicate this disease. And for those that have been touched and affected, that you'd bring comfort and healing and help and encouragement to their hearts. In the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your prayers this morning. We're going to receive our offering in a few minutes, at least what we can. We've got buckets at the back and a way to give online. And thank you for your faithful giving through this season. It's been amazing. And I've got some great news about the Harvest Project. How many would like to hear some great news? Just a couple of days ago, precious family here in the church asked how we were doing with the Harvest Project. And they believe in and support and love all the ministries and missionaries that are a part of the Harvest Project, and they were able to give a generous gift of $10,000 to help toward the Harvest Project. Can you give the Lord a praise for that? Isn't that awesome? Glory be to God. And there's a way to give through PushPay if you'd like to give your tithe or to the Harvest Project. You're able to do that. So let's pray. Father, bless the gift and the giver today in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. And by the way, every day we've been doing a daily devotional, and also sharing any info at our Facebook group and page. Check that out, and keep in touch with us, and hopefully that'll be an encouragement to you. All right, check out this little video. Amen. How many of you have had any challenges along the way trying to pick up on all the different ways of communicating today? You know, the big thing now is texting, right? Everybody loves to text and social media and all this stuff. And it's taken me a little bit to kind of get up and going with some of this. I remember first time I had somebody text me and had an LOL on there. I wasn't quite sure what LOL meant. In my vocabulary, it meant lots of love, but that wasn't exactly right. So if you're like me and you kind of had to learn things, you'll understand this joke this morning. A mom texts her son and says, "Hi, son." And she's trying to figure this out, right? She says, "Son, what does IDK, LY, and TTYL mean?" So he texts her back, "I don't know. Love you. And talk to you later." Mom texts him and says, "Son, it's really okay. Just don't worry about it. I'll ask your sister, okay? Love you too." Okay, if you didn't understand those abbreviations, then you didn't get that joke. More people got that in the first service. Come on, guys. You got to get with me here. So we're talking about choosing joy. Choosing joy. In fact, there's a prophetic word about the Lord himself. "The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me." This is referring to Jesus, because the Lord's anointed me to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy, that's part of the ministry of Christ himself, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I want to talk this morning about the sacrificial choice. The sacrificial choice. This is part 4 in our Choose Joy series and the wrapping up of it today. This is the sacrificial choice, because it takes, and we're going to talk about putting on that garment of praise. That garment of praise. Every one of you here probably have some clothes in the closet, you know, hanging up in the closet. And you know how it is every day. You get ready to go out and you find out it's raining and you got to go into the closet and find that rain jacket, right? And there it is hanging up in your closet. And you've got to go over and you've got to pull that out of the closet, take that off the hanger, and put that jacket on, right, to be protected from the rain. Well, I want to say to you today that you've got to do the same thing with the garment of praise. You've got to choose to put it on. Just like joy, you don't just have joy, you choose joy. Same way with praise, you don't just have it on you, you choose to put it on. And it's hanging there, you've got the opportunity, it's available to you, but you've got to put on your praise. The Apostle Paul was really good at this, because he went through a lot of difficulties. There's a whole chapter in the Bible that talks about the different things he struggled with and walked through and the difficulties he experienced. 5 times the stripes of Jesus upon his back, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Do you see it there? It's a choice. Poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. It really has to do with our attitude and our own personal choice. Now, I believe there is demonic spirits at work in our world today trying to bring a spirit of heaviness upon people, especially in the United States of America. But some people would say, "Well, I don't believe in demonic spirits." Well, let me just tell you, that doesn't change anything. There's a spirit of heaviness in our land, and I could give you data after data after data, statistics after statistics that prove lots and lots of things that are not positive, that are very negative, are on the rise. Because people feel hopeless and they don't feel that they have joy and they don't feel even optimistic about the future. So this morning I want to talk about putting on that garment of praise, the sacrificial choice that will absolutely lead you to a place of joy in the Lord. Psalm 95 verses 1 and 2 and 6 and 7. Look at these words. "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Let us extol him with music and song. Let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Now this morning, I want to try to delineate something for you that hopefully will be helpful to you. When I first came to know the Lord, I didn't grow up in the church, but I became a part of a Baptist church in those early days after my friend had led me to Christ. And in that Baptist church, all we did was sing hymns. And there was some great things about those hymns, full of great, strong biblical theology. But the hymn singing time as a young person wasn't incredibly appealing to me. I didn't often enter into any kind of what I would call real praise and worship. And it's interesting, there's a trend today. When I first went to a church where there was praise and worship, it was so eye-opening to me. It was such a powerful and different experience where people were really praising God and then moving from a celebrative spirit of praise into a place of intimate worship. And I don't know if you've seen that or not, but there's that was oftentimes the way it was in church. You celebrated in praise. You had the upbeat songs first, the songs that were declaring God's goodness, the songs that were shouting God's greatness, the time where people were getting excited and kind of like taking off that spirit of heaviness, putting on that garment of praise. And then it moved you into this place of intimate encounter with God in worship. But it's interesting because there's a trend today where it seems that we're more focused on going straight into worship and we're missing out on praise. And I want to say there's a delineation between the two. There's praise and there's worship, and they're a little bit different. And I want to kind of delineate that for you a bit this morning. So, first of all, praise is horizontal. Praise is horizontal. Okay, worship is vertical, but praise is horizontal. Now, when I first came into a place where people were praising God, there was something really contagious about it. There was something that drew me in, something that beckoned me to kind of move out of my comfort zone and start worshiping God, praising God in a way that I had never before. I mean, you come in and people are clapping and people have got their hands up and they're singing, and they're really singing unto the Lord, and they're declaring God's goodness. Who is like our God? Strong and mighty. Who is like our God? And you come in and, you know, you've had a hard week and you're still struggling and trying to get over the things that have oppressed you through the week, and suddenly you're surrounded by people who are praising. People who are declaring God's greatness, declaring God's goodness. And all of a sudden you kind of like, ooh, I want to be a part of that. And you start to clap and you start to move a little bit and you start to sing out and you start to praise God. Praise God. The song we've been doing lately, you turn graves into gardens, you turn bones into armies, you turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. I mean, man, when you're in praise, it starts to lift your spirits. It starts to get you excited. And you start to break off the things of this world that have been holding you back. How many of you understand what I'm saying? And then that leads you into that place of beautiful, intimate worship. Worship is vertical. Praise is horizontal. And let me say this. Worship is a response, but praise is a choice. Worship is a response, but praise is a choice. So worship, I focus all my attention on God. All my attention on God. It's vertical, which is why, by the way, I should never do anything in a time of worship that causes people to look at me, because I'm taking their focus off of God, and they are to be focused solely on the Lord. But in praise, man, that's when you're clapping, that's when you're shouting, that's when you're singing. You choose to put on the garment of praise. Now, I may be able to worship without you, but let me just say this. I praise best with you. And there's something about this, and this is part of the corporate gathering of the body of Christ. We praise best when we praise together. I mean, praising alone is kind of like going to a football game, and you get to the football game, and there's, you know, 50,000 seat stadium, and the football teams are down there on the field, they're playing, and you're the only one in the stadium. And your team makes that last second play and wins the game, and you know, you're, whoa, yeah, great play. You know, great play, great play. Okay, boy. I'm telling you, one of the most electric times I ever had in my life, I have a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, loves to go to big sporting events, and he'd invite me along, and we went to a World Series game in Cincinnati, Ohio, to see the Reds play the A's. And I'll never forget, we got there, we got up into our seat, and we were way up. Boy, I mean, we were way up high. We could almost see the Ohio River better than we could see the ball game. You know what I'm saying? We were so far up in that stadium. But Eric Davis hits a home run for the Reds, and the place goes absolutely nuts. It's packed. I mean, we're shoulder to shoulder in there, and I got people high-fiving me that I don't know them from a stranger, from Adam. They're high-fiving me. They're shouting. They're jumping up and down. They're hollering. They're screaming. They're so excited. Their team just scored some runs, and they're excited. And you know what? That's a lot like praise. How about when we come together and we're worshiping the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the God who created us? He deserves and he desires our praise. You put on the garment of praise. Let me give you a few thoughts about praise. Praise focuses on God, not me. It's not about me. And yet I find myself living, and you do too, in one of the most narcissistic generations that's ever set foot on this earth. I mean, we're the selfie generation, right? Look at the beach, you know, taking that picture, you know. But let me tell you this, you truly get joy when you get your eyes off of you and you get your eyes on him. That's the source of joy. It's not about me. What? What do you mean it's not about me? No, it's true. It's about God. He's the one who deserves and desires our praise. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, "Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me." The Bible talks about a sacrifice of praise. In other words, praise may not be easy. It may not come, honestly, as naturally as worship does. Worship, you're responding to the sense of God. Worship is about your feelings. Worship is internal. But praise is, I'm going to praise God regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how the week's been, regardless of how I'm feeling. I'm going to declare his goodness and I'm going to shout his greatness. And praise is necessary and powerful. I believe that people of great faith are always people of great praise. Think about David when he went out just to deliver the cheese and the bread to his brothers, and he finds them on the battle lines, and there's Goliath shouting taunts at the people of God. David rises up and begins to declare the greatness of God as he goes into battle. Praise focuses on God, not me. Praise reminds me of the eternal, not the temporal. Praise helps me break out of and get out of my immediate circumstances. When I start to declare, God, you are great. God, you are almighty. God, you are an awesome God. You know, even if you've been coming to church and fighting with your spouse all the way to church, or the kids have been driving you to your last nerve, and you come in and you don't feel like praising, let me just say, that's when you need to praise the most. Because praise gets your mind off the circumstances, gets your mind off the things that are trying to weigh you down, gets your mind off yourself, and starts to get your mind on God and on the eternal. On the eternal. Remember some of those powerful praise hymns that I used to sing back in the Baptist church? You know, one that would lift your spirits was, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be." Anybody remember that one? "When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory." Amen, brother. Woo! Air high five, Brother Doug. Air high five. Man, that gets my eyes off the present situation and focuses me on what is to come. Amen. 2 Corinthians, look at what Paul says here. "We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Man, I tell you what, Paul was good at that. He knew how to focus in the right place. Praise is optimistic. Praise declares the promises of God. Praise lifts your spirits and gets your heart and mind focused on the eternal and God himself. Praise, by the way, is outward. It's not inward. I sang for you a couple of weeks ago the old song, I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Can I just say to you, praise helps it come out of your heart and into your hands and into your feet and into your legs and onto your face. See, worship is inward. It's deep. It's inside. It's feelings. But praise is outward. When David brings the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, let me tell you, he didn't just stay over in the corner and have an intimate moment in worship. No, he praised God in public, in front of everyone. His wife, Michael, criticized him, and he said these words, I'll look even more unashamed than that. You think that's something? I'll go even further because I'm praising God. I'm praising God. He danced, he shouted, he praised. Hebrews 13, 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. I want you to see that. A sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Listen, it's a sacrificial thing to praise God. You may not want to do it. But can I say this? On your worst day, if you will open your mouth and begin to praise God with your voice, you'll get a breakthrough. You will absolutely get a breakthrough. My wife sometimes talks about dancing in the kitchen. When her kids were little, she'd dance in the kitchen with her kids. Every once in a while, she's tried to dance with me in the kitchen, but that didn't go well. But, you know, I come in, she's dancing now with her little French bulldog. Listen, here's what I know is going on. When I come in and she's dancing in the kitchen, I know she's praising God and a breakthrough's happening. And the devil is getting a big old whooping. Because she's declaring God's greatness and God's goodness in the midst of a circumstance or situation that just needs a focus back on Jesus. And she's stomping on the enemy. Amen? First time I saw people praising God in a demonstrative way, it blew me away. But I will tell you this, I was drawn to it. I thought there's something real about that. There's something authentic about that. I want to know how to praise God. So, what I'm talking about here this morning is not a charismatic thing. Please understand that. It is a biblical thing. And if we're going to be people who live for God and by the word, we've got to understand that. So, praise is a sacrificial choice. Look at Luke 19. Very interesting passage. This is the triumphal entry. Right at the crest where Mount of Olives begins its descent, the whole crowd of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works they'd witnessed. Blessed is he who comes, the King in God's name. All's well in heaven, glory in the highest places. Look what happens. This almost always happens when you choose to be a person of praise, there will be resistance on some level. Some Pharisees from the crowd told him, they're talking to Jesus, Teacher, get your disciples under control. Quieten them down. Look what they're doing. They're making a fuss. They're getting excited. But Jesus said, if they keep quiet, the stones would do it for them. The stones themselves would shout praise. Listen, can I just tell you? That's oftentimes what you'll find the religious doing. Is trying to quiet you down, trying to get you in control, trying to make sure that you don't do anything that you shouldn't do. Listen, the devil will always try to keep you under control. The enemy will always fight you on this front. People might even make fun of you, but you have a choice to make in life. You're going to live for God or you're going to live for people. You're going to please God or you're going to please people. We're going to look at some Hebrew today. I'm going to run through 7 words with you today that hopefully will help you better understand what praise really is. So let me ask you a quiz question here this morning as we get into a little bit of Hebrew lesson. What's the biggest book in your Bible? Psalms. Thank you, someone. I was really wondering there for a minute. I'm going, I don't think that's too terribly hard. The book of Psalms, 150 chapters, 150 Psalms. It's a book of praise. It's a book that teaches us to praise, regardless of our circumstances or situations. It's full of admonitions and songs to praise God. So Hebrew is a more expressive language than English is. It has more words. It's more descriptive. So sometimes you'll find one word in English that's translated multiple ways in Hebrew. So I want to show this to you. 7 words for praise found in the Old Testament. The first is the word hallel. It means to rave, to boast, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish before God. It's where we get the word hallelujah. The Yah part, the end, stands for God. It literally means to rave, celebrate, be clamorously foolish about God. And can I just say, I didn't write that definition. It's in the Strong's Concordance of every pastor, regardless of their background. This is biblical, not just Pentecostal. This is an admonition from God, if you will. When I fell in love with my wife, one of the things that I very much wanted to know and understand was her love language. Because if I knew her love language, then I could love her better. I could love her in a way that she would receive it better. That she would understand that I care enough about her to get to know her so that when I do things for her, she sees that I'm doing them specifically in a way that really touches and connects with her heart. Can I just tell you, these are God's love language. You want to show God you love him? Do it the way he's prescribed. He tells you exactly how he likes to be loved on. How he likes to be adored, how he likes to be worshiped. Psalm 35, verse 18, I will thank you in front of the great assembly. I will praise you. That's the word hallel, before all the peoples. Secondly, yada. Not to be confused with Yoda. That's the little green guy, okay? This is yada, not Yoda, okay? Everybody clear on that? Yada means to acknowledge in public. And this is so important. That you and I are people of praise, not just in the church setting, but we're quick to praise God, give him praise even when we're in the marketplace, even when we're out and about in life, because we see him as the source of life. We understand he's good and he deserves our praise. Some people want to say, well, you know, I just worship in my heart. It's a private thing. It's a personal thing. Let me just give you a quick illustration. That'd be like me getting ready to leave the house in the morning. And as I'm getting ready to walk out the door, I turn, I see my wife, and I take my wedding ring off, and I place it on the little table right there by the door, and I see her looking at me, and she's got this you know, quizzical look on her face, and I say to her, oh, honey, don't worry. I'll put it back on when I come home. I just don't want people to know. You know, I'm just a little embarrassed or a little shy, and you know, but don't worry, when I get back, I'll be back with you, honey. I'll put that back on. Let me just tell you, my wife might seem meek and mild and mild-mannered, but if something like that happened in the Lamont household, I just got to tell you, there'd be big trouble. There'd be hair flying, teeth flying, eyeballs all over the kitchen, and they wouldn't be Tracy's. They'd be mine, okay? So, you know what? Yada means to acknowledge in public, to praise God openly before other people. Jesus says these words, by the way. We need to hear them, don't we? If you don't acknowledge me before people, I won't acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. Psalm 138 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. In other words, I'm going to let everybody know. Number 3 is Barak, okay? Not a past president, okay? Not a past president. This is a Hebrew word that means to bless by kneeling or bowing. It literally means to present yourself before God expecting him to give you something you don't currently possess. It's like the offering of yourself up to him. It's like the offering of a gift as you come into his presence. But you don't ever offer anything to God that he doesn't offer something from himself back to you. I mean, real encounters with God. There's a two-way exchange going on there. It's so powerful. Psalm 103, one of my favorite psalms, says, "Praise the Lord." That's Barak. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all his benefits." When you come into God's presence and you begin to praise him, man, I'm telling you, here's the picture. You come into God's presence in one condition and you leave in another condition. That's always my hope and my prayer for you guys when you come to church or when you view online, that maybe you've had a tough week, but because you've been in God's presence, you leave renewed, you leave restored, you leave with hope and encouragement in your soul. Number four is zamar. Zamar means making music to God with strings, with strings. Can I just say this morning, God likes guitars. I like guitars too. And God likes guitars. And he doesn't just like guitars. He likes just about every instrument you can imagine. Psalm 92:1 says, "It is good to zamar the Lord, to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High." Psalm 150 breaks it down for us. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. I remember one time being in a church in Mexico City, and they had all these trumpeters up front. And it was in worship, and they all started playing the trumpet. It was awesome. I was like, wow, that is cool, man. Glenn, see if you can get us a trumpet section on the worship team, okay? No pressure, but, you know. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. There you go. Glenn, we don't even know what the lyre is, but see if you can get one of those going, okay? I'm just kidding. Praise him with the timbreland dancing. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. How many of you like little drums on the platform? I do. Thank you, Cody. Thank you for using your gifting. Cody plays all kinds of instruments, by the way. Praise him with resounding cymbals. I don't know about you, but I enjoy a good worship team. A good worship team gets my feet up off the ground and gets me moving and gets me praising and gets me forgetting my troubles and getting my eyes on God, thinking about it, the eternal. Listen, the church I grew up in absolutely hated dancing. I mean, they hated and despised dancing. They didn't believe in premarital sex because they were afraid it would lead to dancing. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't have said that. I really shouldn't. I don't know why I said that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And I know there's all kinds of dancing out there that's not godly. That's for sure. But you know what? There's a dancing that's right and righteous and glorifying to God. And that's why we have a worship team, to help us enter into praise. Amen? Help us break off the spirit of heaviness. Can you appreciate our team a little bit today, by the way? Glenn and our team. And then Shabak. Shabak means to address in a loud tone. It means literally to shout. To shout. What do you do when you're at a ball game and your team wins a cliffhanger? Do you just stand there with your arms folded and go, "Well, that was nice. Oh, I'm shouting in my heart." No, unless you're just a big dud. No, you're shouting. You're giving high fives to strangers. You're getting excited. It's electric. You know, it's praise in a way, right? And can I just say that the ball game has stolen oftentimes, or the concert has stolen what was meant for God? I mean, I love those atmospheres, but man, I like it a lot better when it's directed to the one who really deserves it. How about your loved ones been gone on a YWAM trip or gone on a big trip for a month, and you go to the airport to greet them, and you're waiting there, you know, and you're watching. You can only go so far in the airport, so you're watching. You got banners, and you got posters, and you got a confetti cannon, and you're ready, you know, and finally they come. Do you just stand there and go, "Oh, nice to see you. It's good to see you again. Yeah, glad you're here." I mean, no, unless you're just a big dud. Come on, I mean, you know, "Honey, it's so good to see you." Run and you give them a hug and you express the joy and you know, you might shout, "Yay, I'm glad you're back." Can I ask you the question, why is this normal behavior everywhere else but not for our God who absolutely deserves it? Psalm 63:3-4 says, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I'll lift up my hands." That leads us to number six, Todah. Okay, it's the hand thing. People, what's all that about the hand thing? Why are so many people lifting up hands? First time I ever saw people lifting up hands, I was drawn to it, and I asked one of the guys beside me, I said, what's that all about? He said, well, I don't know, but why don't they do it all the time? I'm like, what? That was the craziest thing I'd ever heard of. I'm like, they're expressing their hearts to God. You know, there's something precious and powerful about it. I want you to check this little video out. It's kind of fun. Don't get the wrong feeling here, because there's something so powerful and important about this. But sometimes it's okay just to have a little fun.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying. You're like, I can't. I want to. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us. Feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're at my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. Got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to go post. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite. The circle of life. Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five, press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky touchdown. There you go. And I know that
oh my, you know, I love a little sarcasm, but let's not forget the fact that this is a biblical thing. You know, we might laugh a little bit, have a little bit of fun. But Psalm 50, verse 23 says, he who offers praise, he who todas, who lifts his hands in adoration, glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. You know, we ought to raise our hands just because God likes it. And God admonishes us to do this. Listen, Psalm 63, verse 4, I will praise you as long as I live. In your name I'll lift up my hands. Psalm 134, verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Here's our little biblical guide to worship right there. Taken off that video, kind of funny to me. Levels, rookie, intermediate, pro, okay, and then check this out, intermediate, pro, expert, and a little thing here in the side, warning, Baptists, do not attempt. I think they're afraid they may get hurt right there. The last is tehillah means exuberant singing. By the way, I didn't say tequila. Some of you were thinking, I found my verse. No, don't go there. Don't go there. Psalm 34:1, I will extol the Lord at all times. His tehillah, exuberant singing, will always be on my lips. Listen, I know praise can be a stretch, but it's important to God. God loves exuberant singing and dancing and shouting and kneeling, true praise. And I think you do too. I think for some of you, you've probably just never been given permission. You learn to praise, and joy just begins to come. There's something so wonderful and so freeing about it. As we close today, and as we close our series on choosing joy, I want to remind you that the only part of life that you can control is your reaction to it. So you know what? Choose joy. Amen? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? For those of you here in the room and those who are watching on Facebook or YouTube, maybe you've not taken that first step with God. Such an important first step where you just invite him into your heart to live in you, to change you, to become a true believer. If that's you, you can pray with me right now, wherever you are, and just say, "Dear God, I need you. Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you come into my heart and my life? Make me a new creation and teach me how to live for you from this day forward." If you prayed that with sincerity, believe me, God heard you. It's the first step in the most wonderful journey. We want to help you however we possibly can. Please let us know. For the rest of us in the room, let me pray over you. Father, I pray right now for an infusion, daily infusion of your joy, that everyone here would just simply learn to choose the joy that's available in and through Jesus every day. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord praise today? Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Everybody stand with me if you would. And Lord, go with us and let our lives be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a great week. Yes. Amen.